day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and troubles meet, as from my Father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Thank you, Joyce, for that this morning. Kids, you're dismissed to go to your class. And for the rest of you, if you would take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. And over the last couple weeks, we have been studying the importance of putting on the whole armor of God. Last week, we looked at the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. And this week, from this passage, we're going to look at the foot gear, the shoes, and we'll see how important they are for the Christian soldier as well. So let's look at the text, starting in verse number 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. It says this: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for the saints. And for me, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray this morning before we get into the rest of the message. Father God, we thank you today for who you are. And Lord, we thank you for this passage of Scripture that challenges us, instructs us to put on the whole armor of God as we fight the wiles of the devil. I pray that, Father, that as we go through this passage of Scripture this morning, that you would help us to put aside those things that we may be thinking about this afternoon, those things that may distract us, but we would be able to just concentrate on the words of that you have given to us through your holy and living and powerful word. I pray that, Father, that you would just give me strength this morning. I pray that you'd give me clarity of speech. But I pray that you would just teach us what you would have for us to learn. For we ask this in your name I pray. Amen. Some time ago, Patty and I were out and about on a date. And I said to her, I said, "Honey, I would like to stop and go to the shoe store to see if I can find me a new pair of shoes." And for someone who does not like shopping in the first place, that to walk into a shoe store can be very overwhelming to me. It's kind of like when you're walking down the cereal aisle at the grocery store and you see about 150 different kinds and brands of cornflakes. It's like, whoa, which one do you choose? When I walk into a shoe store and I see all of the different types of shoes, and I think, which one do I choose? You have dress shoes, kind of like some of you and myself are wearing today. So they have shoes that are more casual. They have some that I don't know what they are, and I don't even know why in the world you would buy them or even be shown or show yourself in public with them. But then they have athletic shoes, they have soccer shoes, they have golf shoes, they have, of course, they have work shoes and work boots. And I'll be honest with you, I don't normally think about the shoes that I wear very often. But I'm very thankful for the shoes that I do have, because they protect my feet every single day. I can't imagine getting up and walking out the door without a pair of shoes on and that fit my feet and protect my feet for wherever I go. I can't imagine going on to a construction site, and if I were in the construction world and starting the day with no shoes on. Or I can't imagine walking into like a place that my wife works at, a foundry, and walking and doing my job in the foundry. I can't imagine doing those types of things without a pair of shoes. Could you imagine a football player stepping out on the football field without a pair of shoes with cleats on the bottom? Or could you imagine a baseball player doing the same thing, wearing the proper shoes that he has? Or what about a tennis player stepping out on the tennis court and without any tennis shoes on? Or a soccer player playing a game without the proper shoes? You see, it doesn't happen because athletes understand how important their shoes are for the game that they are going to play. So just as shoes are important to an athlete, soldiers are required to have those types of shoes that are fit for what they do as well. Soldiers are required to, and many times, you may not realize this, but many times a soldier's life could depend on his shoes. Soldiers are required to walk long distances and all kinds of terrain, all kinds of weather, whether it's wet, whether it's muddy, rocky, dry, hot desert conditions. If a soldier's feet would become sore, swollen, cut, or blistered, that would greatly hinder the soldier in the day of battle. That they may not be able to stand and fight, be able to march or properly use their weapons if they didn't have the proper shoes on or if their feet were sore and hurting. And if they couldn't stand, they certainly wouldn't be able to advance towards the enemy. The bottom line is that sore feet would not allow the soldier to stand firm. So they too need the proper shoes or boots for the task that is before them. As we've seen, the image that the Apostle Paul is using to illustrate putting on the whole armor of God is that of a Roman soldier. And their footwear was important to them as well. They wore thick leather sandals that laced up to about mid-calf and protected their feet and ankles. And on the bottom of these sandals, they would usually drive hobnails or they would drive spikes through the soles of those shoes to give them traction for when they climbed hills or fought on uneven terrain. Oftentimes, if they were fighting in grass, and the grass may have some dew on it if the battle was going on in the morning, or if it would be wet from rain if they were fighting in the rain, or as frequently happened in this kind of battle, the ground would become slippery and wet from the blood that was spilt while they were fighting. So the spikes on the bottom of the sandals helped the soldier maintain his footing in battle. It helped the soldier stand firm. And just like the Roman soldier that Paul uses to illustrate putting on the armor, if we are going to stand against the wiles of the devil, against the schemes of the evil one, then we must have on the proper spiritual footwear. We can put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. But if we neglect our feet and our shoes, we are destined to stumble and fall. Paul says in verse 14 and 15, he says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." That word preparation refers to being ready, being prepared. The sandals that these soldiers would wear on their feet would allow him to be ready, to be prepared for whatever he faces. He was ready to march. He was ready to stand. He was ready to climb. He was ready to fight or whatever else he may be called on to do. And that same readiness should mark the people of God. But what are we to be ready for? What are we to be prepared for? Many who read this verse, and even some commentators who have written on it, assume that it is referring to going out and preaching the gospel of peace. And we are to go out and preach the gospel of peace. Jesus commanded us to do so in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." But what I want you to see is that Paul's primary emphasis in this text is not on going, but on standing. It's not on going out and preaching the gospel, which is very important, but it's on standing. In fact, if you look at the first word in verse 14, what does it say? It says, "Stand." If you go back with me to verse 11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to do what? To stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 13, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You see, the whole point right here is in verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So Paul's emphasis is not on sharing the gospel like so many may think, not in this text anyway. It is on standing. It is on fighting the devil. And Paul is telling us, be sure your shoes are fitted with the readiness of the gospel so that you can stand, so you can stand and not be moved. Because the enemy, that's his goal. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be moved. He wants to move you. He wants to move me, as in he wants to knock you down. He wants to knock me down. He wants to take us out. Verse 14 and 15 again. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I want us to look at that phrase, the gospel of peace, for a minute. What does the gospel of peace mean? The gospel of peace is the wonderful news that through our relationship with Jesus Christ, we are at peace with God. And you know it and I know it, but that has not always been the case. We saw it when we were in the book of Romans, and that we were once enemies of God in chapter 5, verse 10. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil, in Ephesians 2, 2. By nature, we were children of wrath, and just like all the others in Ephesians 2, 3. But when God saved us, He reconciled us to Himself. And it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, it says this, it says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." You see, when God saved us, He reconciled us to Himself, and He declared us to be at peace with Him. I love Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says this, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now in Christ, us, the saints of God, are at peace with God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, it says this, "And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight." So the gospel of peace that Paul is speaking about here is the wonderful news that in Christ we are at peace with Him and we have been made one with Him. And when we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and we stand in absolute confidence that God loves us, that He saved us, that He has forgiven us, and He fights for us, when we have that confidence and when we possess the peace of God in our hearts, we are ready to stand against any enemy that comes our way. Remember, a good illustration of that would be Peter when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. in John chapter 18. And he's standing there with the disciples while soldiers were coming to capture Jesus. And I've read that there were probably around 500 of them who came in that group to capture Jesus, and they were holding torches to light the night so that they could find him. And they assumed that he'd be hiding in a cave somewhere, and they come marching into that garden, and they've got clubs and other weapons to beat Jesus into submission and ready to fight those disciples. And Jesus steps out, and he meets them, and he says, "Whom are you seeking? Whom are you seeking?" And they reply, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said, "I am he." And they immediately, and I read this, I didn't catch this before until this week, and they immediately fell on their backs like a bunch of dominoes, laying in the dirt. Some 500 or of them, or however many there were, they all crawled back, and after they dusted themselves off, he said, "Whom are you seeking?" Again, they said to Jesus, "Jesus of Nazareth." And they had fallen on their back. And Peter is thinking to himself, after he sees what is taking place, he's in awe of what he saw. That these people all fell on their backs just by his name. And the whole Roman army, they collapse when they hear Jesus' name. And he gets the idea, if he is this powerful, there is no sense in being taken. So the Bible says that Peter grabs his sword and he chops off Malchus's ear, the servant of the high priest. And you know, I'm convinced that he was not trying to chop off Malchus's ear. I believe he was trying to chop off his head. It would have been no reason why he would have chopped off Malchus's ear. But that wasn't the point of the whole story. The point of the story is he's going to fight the whole Roman army. He was ready to fight the whole Roman army. And you say, where does he get that kind of strength? What gives him that kind of confidence? Well, he had just seen that whole army fall flat on their back at the very name of Jesus. And he's saying to himself, if I get into any trouble, Jesus is right there with me and he will take them down. You see, Peter has a sense of invincibility. And there's nothing that can ever defeat him because he's seen the power of Jesus displayed already. He takes the sword and he begins to defend the Lord, and he knew who was on his side and where his resources came from. Folks, that is true for us as well. The redeemed child of God who stands in the Lord's power and in full assurance of the Lord's salvation does not have to fear any enemy, even if it is the enemy Satan himself. When we are attacked, we stand firm on unchanging ground of the gospel of peace. The same gospel that changed us from sinners and turned us into saints. The same gospel that changed God from our enemy into our protector. He is our Heavenly Father, and we are His children. In everything we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might is at our disposal. Our confidence in the day of battle does not rest on our own power. If I'm going to try and defeat the enemy in my own power, I'm going to fail. But if I do it in my confidence in the day of battle rests on the power of God and the promises of God, he's going to be defeated. Listen to what he promises. God promises the child of God from Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39. It says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God and also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distresses, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Folks, those promises, those truths are the shoes that give us the ability to stand in the evil day. So the question is this morning, do you have on the proper shoes? Do you have on the proper shoes? Are you ready to stand? Do you have absolute confidence in your heart that God has saved you, has forgiven your sins, and has adopted you into His family? If you have that kind of confidence, you can stand regardless of what the enemy throws at you. If you don't have that deep, settled confidence in your heart, you'll be unstable in all of the battles that you face with the enemy. But today, you can have that confidence. You can have that confidence. You can know Him and His power to stand, and you can be stable and strong and sure. But to have that stability, you need to be sure you are saved. Has there been a time in your life when you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins? You've confessed your sins. He's rescued you from your sins. If not, you can do it today so that you too can have on the proper shoes. Let's pray this morning. Father God, we thank you for, Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you that you have given us all of the resources necessary to fight against the enemy, to fight against his schemes. But Lord, maybe there's some this morning that they've been trying to fight these battles on their own. And Lord, they've fallen, and they've gotten back up, and they've fallen again. But Lord, I pray that they would put on the proper foot gear so that they can dig right into your foundation, and Lord, that their lives would be stable. I pray that, Father, if there's any this morning who have never trusted you as their personal Savior, They've never asked you to forgive them of their sins. They've never invited you to come into their lives. I pray that, Lord, that before they leave this place today, that they would get that settled so that they too can have the armor of God as they go in to fight these battles on a daily basis. Thank you, Father, for your word. Help us to now to apply it to our lives, for we ask this in your name I pray. Amen. If you would stand with me and turn to number 400.